Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Why don't you stand with me, please? And look at God's Word. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our Heavenly Father, now as we get into your Word, the reason why we come here is to hear from you. And you speak to us through your Word and the presence of your Holy Spirit, the testimony of others, the things, the wisdom that you have gifted us with as individuals to share the faith and our relationship with you. And Lord, we're talking about worship once again. It is so important. It's so critical. And I pray that we would have a greater understanding of it, not just today, but going forward, where if we don't worship you, the rocks and trees would cry out in our place, and that's not going to happen on our watch, not if we can help it. So, Lord, I pray that you would teach us the things that you want us to know. Thank you for the events of the day to this point. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. A couple of weeks ago, we were in Matthew chapter 15, and I just want to give you very quickly some highlights of the things that we said a couple of weeks ago by way of introduction. There was a A.W. Tozer had a lot of comments on worship, and he made this comment that I liked very much. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And so only you can answer that question of what you think of about God when someone's talking to you about Him, whether you are inspired by Him, whether you feel like you have a friendship with Him, or whether you are ashamed of Him, or any number of emotions that can come into your thought life. What you think about God is the most important thing about you, and I couldn't agree more with that. I also know that God works in a way that you and I don't always understand, and obviously we've been reminded of that this week with the sorrow that's in our hearts and the things that are going on. And I had mentioned 2 weeks ago Psalm 115 in verse 3, and I think you should turn to that if you don't mind. Psalm 115, we're not done with Romans chapter 12, but this is a passage that was quoted when Dawson Trotman was drowned in the lake in, I've lost my mind, what's the lake in New York where, Scroon Lake, thank you, Scroon Lake at Word of Life, okay? And so, Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now your God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. We need to read verse 3 together. Here we go. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. And I couldn't agree with that more. Of course, you ought to agree with God's word. But ever wonder what in the world God is doing? Huh? How, come on, God, this doesn't make sense. What are you doing? Frustrating. Maddening. One of the emotions I had this week is I was just ticked off. My wife can testify to it. I go into these rants, you know, in love, of course. But there is just times where, and it's just frustration. I'm not mad at anyone in particular. I'm just frustrated with, really? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatever he pleased, and he can. He owns us. He made us. He put us here. It's his right to do what he wants. And he's never wrong. Now, that doesn't mean he says, and obviously we could spend the rest of the morning on this, but God has done what he wants to do. And let me tell you something. We need to make sure he gets the glory for it. That whatever he's up to, we don't want a short circuit. Satan can see the potential of things and he'll want to get in and muddy up the waters. We're not going to let that happen. And some of the things that happened is Jesus himself is walking on the earth, the greatest soul winner there ever was, the one that could look into your eyes and see your soul and knew what you were. Thank God I can't do that. Thank God you can't do that, but he could. One of the things we struggle with in witnessing and sharing our faith is we don't know what a person needs, so sometimes we're talking a language they don't understand. We're trying to apply things to them that don't apply. You know, sometimes it's just not working. The Word of God always works, though. But Jesus was never stuck in a position where he looked at someone and says, I don't really know what you need, but let me share this with you. He never did that. He knew exactly what they needed, but even knowing exactly what they needed and sharing with them exactly what they needed to hear, they still didn't believe. And he confronted the Pharisees in Matthew, and he said, in vain do you worship me. In vain do you worship me, teaching the traditions of men. And I'll tell you what, there's some things that we can get caught up in. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just what we think. Boy, this is so important. And the Pharisees were so big on all the important things that were, and they were going straight to hell, and they didn't care one lick about the Messiah. All they cared about was their personal influence and their political power of the day, and the best thing for them to do was to kill Jesus. And so much now, Satan just wants to kill the message. And you and I need to be real careful about what we're teaching and what we're believing and how we're acting, because the reality of it is this, is there are acts of worship and there are worshipful acts. Now, this morning in the service, as we sing and we read our Bibles and we do all of those things, we are doing worshipful acts. Now, it can look different for different people, you know. Some of you are hand raisers. Most of us in this room are not, okay? Doesn't matter. Doesn't mean the one raising their hands is worshiping better than the ones that aren't. The ones that don't should not be looking at those raising their hands and saying, what's that about? Sometimes in the music service, some people might even be moving a little bit. Baptists don't generally do that. But you know what? I don't have a problem with that. And shame on the person sitting back in judgment saying, how could they do that? That's not worshipful. Get over it. That's not what the Bible teaches. Now you're talking of the traditions of men. Because the traditions of the Baptist church is suit and tie. I am the Baptist church. I am. Let me tell you. I have to look like I do. I have to. It's who I am. But on the other hand, there are some folks that don't look like me. And I can't get them to look like me. And I think they should. And obviously, if they don't look like me and they don't act like me, then obviously they're not Christian. And you know what? That's what some people think. Or you may be Christian, but you're not amounting to much. Folks, those are dangerous things. That's the traditions of men. In vain does Stan Griffin think those things. That's what he's teaching in Matthew. And I'll tell you what, the religious crowd of that day, if you will, were the legalistic Baptists of the day that said they believed but were not interested in anything else than what they were doing. And if you don't do it our way, it will never work. That's the proud crowd that's a disaster. I don't want to be any part of that. I was that. That's who I was. But I've just found that, you know, for some reason, it's a scary thing, but for some reason, you can be a Christian and not be like me. And it's taken me 55 years to learn that. It's been a long, slow process, you know. I'm just saying, you be careful. There's worshipful acts, there's the acts of worship, and there's the essence of worship, and we're very judgmental about the acts of worship and how you do that. And why don't you just worry about yourself, okay? And if you've got something to say, don't. Because I found, we were watching, I don't particularly care for musicals. And I'll get to the message, I promise. I don't particularly care for musicals, but I do like The Music Man. It's an old one. Is that what it is? The Music Man. But there's just all of it. It's one music. So I do, I'll confess, I fast forward through certain parts of it. But about halfway through the movie, there's this bunch of women, and they're all talking about the librarian and how she's doing this and that. And then they go into this song as pick a little, talk a little, 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 chip, 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 pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, pick a little, talk a little, pick, 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 talk, 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 talk. And you know what? I looked at my wife and I said, that's a bunch of Baptists right there. Isn't it true? Whatever you're picking a little, talking a little about, stop it. Because that's not worship. And that's an avenue for Satan to get in. You know what? It has happened some in this church. Oh, boy, Stan, you just took the fun out of the building. You know what? Sometimes you have to say what needs to be said. And when it comes to worship, what the worship you need to concentrate on is the man in the mirror that you see, the woman in the mirror that you see. And so that's where our text is this morning, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. H-O-L-Y. Holy. When someone looks at you, do they think holy? If you were going to ask someone, this is Mark Arnold, the associate pastor of the church, describe him for me. Would you think holy? It's Terry Pangburn. Professional golfer. Would you think, I don't care what name you put in there. Would one of the words you think to describe someone, young William, would you think holy? You know what? According to my Bible, that should be. One of the greatest compliments that someone can say about me is, that's a man of God. I was into a parts counter the other day, and I had said something. And they said, you're supposed to be a man of God. No, they didn't say supposed to be. They said, you're a man of God. How can you say that? And I can't even remember what I said, but I thought, they know me, and they're lost as a hound dog. They know me as a man of God. You know what? I don't mind that. I don't mind that. So how do people know you? Holy, acceptable unto God. See, if you're not holy, you're not acceptable. Now, we can be acceptable through the blood of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that in communion tonight. But the reality of it is we couldn't possibly be acceptable without Christ. We're pathetic, okay? But holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, it be not conformed this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, obviously, I'm not an NIV guy, but Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. I like that. This is your spiritual act of worship. Because see, and the misunderstanding in worship is worship takes place in church. No. Worship is just a place. That church is just a place that worship takes place, but worship takes place every breath we take, everywhere we go, everything we are. That's who we are. Our actions, our service is our spiritual worship, and people understand who we are by what we do and what we say. And then we wonder why we can't win anybody to Christ. Well, it's a possibility that our worship stinks. And it's because of that we have no power in our witness. So here we are this morning. Let's look at some things that need to take place in our worship. Number one, I need to present myself to God. We sang this morning. I don't pick the songs. It's incredible to me how wasn't the music great this morning? We don't get together and say, oh boy, if you sing this, this will really work. And there's nothing wrong with that. Many mega churches, they try to coordinate everything, and we're just not that good. So, but drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. That's Romans 12:1. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now you got to remember that those were Jews that understood sacrifice. They understood that a sacrifice was put on an altar after it was killed. The blood was shed. there they were. There was that perfect lamb, spotless, sinless. And so you and I are required to give ourselves, but we don't have to die for it. We have to live for it. And I happen to think dying's easier than living. Because living, that's tough. Living requires some things. And we have to present ourselves a living sacrifice. That's our act of worship, because their act of worship, Old Testament, was to bring the lamb. The priest would put their hands on it. They would put the sins of the person on that sacrifice. Then they would kill it. The blood would be shed. And without the shedding of blood is no redemption. And so they recognize the importance of all of that. But now we no longer do that. We have to be the living sacrifice ourselves. That's up to us. And we present ourselves to the Lord. And from that point on, when we present ourselves to the Lord, once we trust Christ as our Savior, a lot of things we used to push old time that we don't seem to so much anymore, and we should, is the dedication of yourself to the Lord. I present myself, Lord, here I am, and all the missionary songs, here I am, send me, and all of the things that we talked about, that it ought to be our desire wherever we go, we are a walking, talking, worshiping testimony for Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do. That's a holy person. That's a man of God. That's a woman of God. And so in doing that, we're required to give ourselves to the Lord. Here I am, Lord. This is my act of worship. I present myself to you holy, acceptable because of Jesus Christ, which is a reasonable thing to do. Why? Because we'd have nothing without Christ. You know, it's a reasonable thing for you to go to work tomorrow morning at the right time, at the right place, to do your job. Why? Because at the end of the week, they give you a paycheck, and it's reasonable to expect you to earn that. I ought to know that. Well, it's reasonable that a God that sent his Son, who loved me so much he'd rather die for me than live without me, it's expected, it's reasonable that I should be willing to say, Lord, you know what, folks, out of this deal, you know what I get? I get heaven. I get my sins forgiven. I get a home in glory. I get all of the rewards. Whatever you are suffering right now, whatever pain you are experiencing right now, don't fret it. This is a temporary situation. Say it with me. This is a temporary situation. Now, for all those people who reject Christ and say, oh, you got, I'm not interested in that. I got so much to live for, and you guys are going to shackle me. You're going to hold me back, whatever. I highly disagree with that whole assessment. However, having said that, if you just won the lottery and you hadn't better, but if you had just won the lottery and your ship came in, that's a temporary situation. That don't last. I'll tell you, whatever you're experiencing right now, whatever it is, the Bible is very clear that our life is just like a breath. It's a fog that was there and it's gone. It's grass and the flower fades and the grass dies and all the Bible teaches, but God lasts forever. And you and I will go and be with him, and it's a reasonable thing to think that for what short time we have here on this earth, we're going to spend our time living for the Lord. I was talking to someone yesterday, I think it was, and they don't go to our church. I mentioned that one of the men in our church had passed, and I said, I think, how long have we gone to church together, Ella? I thought it was 20 years. How many years have you been in the church? 95. Okay, so longer than that. So, okay, 23 years. I guessed 20 years. The guy says, boy, I can't imagine 20 years or something. Young guy. He says, let me tell you something, pal. It goes fast, doesn't it? It goes fast. 20 years is nothing. Now, I know all of you young bucks that are here, you're saying, let me tell you, 20 years is nothing, okay? It seems like the older I get, I could have held my breath through this entire episode. Don't get caught up in this life. You keep your eyes set on the prize of the next life. It's all about the next life. Say that with me. It's all about the next life. It's a reasonable thing for God to ask from us for this life. So How can I do that? Number one, because of God's loving mercy, I can do this. Because of His mercy, I deserve death. Sin separated me from God, and in His mercy, I get what I have. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. How many people have witnessed to someone, said, you ask them, are you going to heaven? They say, yes. And we say, how do you know? I'm a good person. Who's heard that? We all have. If you've witnessed, you've heard that. Well, you know what? Not by works of righteousness which you've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. There's nothing you can do that's good enough. Matter of fact, in comparison to God Almighty, Paul says, all my righteousness is filthy rags. And it looked pretty good to people, but it didn't to God. I'll tell you what, without Christ's shed blood covering, paying for your life, you look like a manure pile. That's what the Bible says. Now, it says something else, but manure pile is more acceptable than today's terminology. You know? Can you say, Pastor, how can you say that? That's not very kind. You're supposed to build your people up. No, God will build you up. That's fine. You just need to hear the truth. And it's because of God's mercy we get to have what we have. We don't deserve any of it. I don't deserve what I have. You don't deserve what you have. I know you can say, well, I worked hard for what I have. No, God allowed you to work hard for what you have. It's because of His grace you even get to breathe. Don't you forget it. For all the people out there that are saying, I did it my way, no, you didn't. God allowed you to do it, whatever you think is your way, but you've got nothing without Him. It's His mercy that we get to do those things. So number one, I can present my body because of His mercy. Hebrews 14:6 says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not only do I have mercy, I get to be a living sacrifice. What's a sacrifice? A sacrifice is grabbed. The only one I've ever seen that looked like could actually live what I've talked about is Isaac. If you remember the story of Isaac, Abraham goes up and he's going to sacrifice his son, his only son Isaac, on the altar. And I have forever tried to figure out how that would go. My dad's here and I love him to death, but if he was tying me up and putting me on the altar, I'd be fighting back. So, you know, for some reason, something's broken down in the relationship here. Isaac, where's the sacrifice, Dad? Well, the Lord will provide one. Meanwhile, He's tying him up, putting him on there, raising a knife over him. And there's Isaac. The Bible doesn't record anything other than him being an obedient son. That is incredible to me. But I'll tell you what, I get to be a living sacrifice. That God doesn't require death of me, although that's possible. What He requires is me to be willing to lay down my life. That's what He requires from you, to be willing to lay down your life. What is it? That's an act of worship. That's saying, I adore God so much, there's nothing I'm holding back from Him. There's no good thing. He says there's no good thing He will withhold from us. There ought to be no good thing we would withhold from Him. It's a reciprocal thing. Mercy, a living sacrifice, and obviously we've touched on being holy already. 1 Peter 1:14 and 15 says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. We've touched on holiness already. And lastly, in proving God. So I've because of God's mercy, because of a living sacrifice, because of holy life, and lastly, because of proving God. I show my worship of God and the way I live and the change that He has made in me. I don't know of a better example of that than Glenn Weeks. That man lived a transformed life. If you talk to Ella, you know, how many times was he in jail? A few times. He was a drug addict. He lived a reprobate lifestyle. We went to, just a little side note here, I'm about out of time. I'm going to tell you anyway. We went to the Philippines back just after 9/11. We used to have a school over there and stuff. And Glenn and I and Heidi Mead back then, it's Vahu now, right? So Heidi and the three of us, we jump on a plane, we're going. Before we left, I said, Glenn, I said, we're after 9/11. We're all wondering about hijackings and stuff. And over in the Philippines, there was an area that had some Muslim problems. And I says to Glenn, I says, if something happens, I said, I'm not going down without a fight. I said, I'm not going to be one of those guys that just sits back and take it, you know? And Glenn says, I got your back. Glenn was a black belt. So my plan was to be behind Glenn's back. And, you know, he's 280 pounds, I'm thinking. I'm covered here, you know? Yeah, she probably did, yeah. So obviously, but we prove God by the way that we live, and the change that's been made. And I'll tell you what, there wasn't anything Glenn wouldn't do for the Lord. And he was a transformed life, a changed man. There is no greater example of the power of a life in Christ than if you knew Glenn Weeks before and you knew the Glenn Weeks that we got to know and love and is in heaven today. What's that? That's an act of worship. Folks, be worshipers. Let's be worshipers in God's house. And let's be worshipers when we leave here, because changed lives are the greatest testimony that we have to the power of God. And I don't know about you, but I love Jesus. I love serving him. Let's see if we can do this. Sing it with me. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Now, folks, that's worship. Heavenly Father, we do love you. I pray this morning, first of all, for that person that may be living a life that's not pleasing to you. Perhaps they've never prayed, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. They're missing out on everything. Satan may have lied to them and convinced them that they'd give up too much to come to Christ, but they've given up everything by not coming to Christ. I hope they realize their need of you. And even now say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. And then, Lord, for us as Christians, I pray the pick a little, talk a little would stop. That we'd make up our minds that the man or woman in the mirror is the only one we're concerned about. That we want to live a life of sacrifice, living sacrifice for you. That our acts of worship would be evident and obvious to those in the lost world that are watching. And God, I pray that when we are gone, we would be missed, not by our family and friends, but be missed for the cause of Christ. Thank you for all that you mean to us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I'd love to have you say these words right here. Lord Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior, forgive my sins. I believe in you. Help me to trust you. Thank you for hearing my prayer. If you mean those words and you truly ask Christ into your heart, he will give you eternal life, a home in heaven, and honestly, an ability that you never knew that you had because you don't have it without Christ. And that's the power to live a godly life.